So we're on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, and we're up to Omer Rav Chia Bar Rav Ashi Omer Rav. And let me just see. Make sure. No, one second. I think I got the wrong place here. Yeah, I have the wrong place. We're up to Ma'arvin Lenazir B'yayin. So let's just count up where we got up to here. It's three lines up before the end of the on Lamed Omer Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us that Ma'arvin Lenazir B'yayin, Yisrael B'truma, a Nazir is allowed to set up his Eruv Tchumen from Yayin, even though he's enjoined from drinking the wine. And a non-Kohen is allowed to set up his Eruv Tchumen from Truma, even though he's enjoined from eating the Truma. So the Gemara says, Masnisin, our Mishnah, Delo Kibet Shammai, is against Beit Shammai. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Ma'arvin Lenazir B'yayin, Uli Yisrael B'truma. In other words, Beit Shammai restricts an Erev Tchumen to that which is food, is mutter, b'achila, for that person who is putting down this Erev. It's got to be Roy Lo Li'atzma. It's not enough that it's roi lacherim, that others, let's say a kohen in the case of truma or a non-nazir in the case of yayin, are mutar. Beisil omrim mi arvin lenazir b'yayin uli Yisrael b'truma. Omer lehem beis hillel lebeis shammai. So in this brisa, we present the arguments of beis hillel against Beit Shammai. Iatem modim. Here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Iatem modim. Shema arvim eruv tchumin le adam gadol. Gadol means he's 13 years old, and he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Biyom HaKippurim. In other words, no one's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And if I set up an Eruv on Yom Kippur, then it's not Roy Lachila. Because the Torah says, V'nisim es nafshel seichem. Are you, Beit Shammai, going to go as far as to say that I can't set up an Eruv Tchumen on Yom Kippur, meaning for Yom Kippur? Why? Because it's not Roy Lachila. And if we assume that Beit Shammai would agree with Beis Hillel that there is such a thing as an Erev on Yom Kippur, we never heard that there's no such thing as an Erev Tchumen for Yom HaKippurim, then the only answer would be that it's Roy Lacherim, which means that although we are adults, we're past bar mitzvah, we cannot eat from this food, from any food, but the Katan, who's less than bar mitzvah, he's not obligated to fast, he can eat it. So basically, Beis Hillel is he's pushing Beit Shammai against the wall. And tell me, what's the difference, Beit Shammai, between Yom Kippur, where we're going to say that it's Roy Lacherim, because the Ketanim could eat this food on Yom Kippur, and even though you're using the air for yourself, and you certainly are enjoined from eating it, and the case of a Nazir, Yayin Lenazir, or Truma Lazar, you're not willing to recognize Acherim, that there's somebody on the face of the earth who's allowed to eat this, that's not good enough for you. So how are you going to justify an Erev Tchumen on Yom Kippur? Beis Hillel is convinced that the viability or the validity of a of an Erev Tchumen for Yom Kippur is because it's Royal Acherim, that there are others who can enjoy this this food. And those are the Ketanim. Now, I once asked you a question which really is addressed by Rishonim already. What's the status of Yayin to a Nazi? Is it an Iser Gavra or is it an Iser Hefta? Let me assume, just for argument's sake, that Yayin to a Nazir is an Iser Hefta. If that be the case, then perhaps we can understand Beit Shammai in the following way, that an Erev Tchumen is excluded from a Dover Asur, in the case of a Dover Asur, if it's a Heftzah Disura. Now again, I don't need it to be a Heftzah Disura for the whole world, but if it's a Heftzah Disura for me, and I want to use this Erev, and I'm a Nazir, and Yayin to a Nazir is like Nevela to you and I, you know, to anybody, then Beit Shammai excludes it as an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tchumen, excuse me. But when you take up the case of what? Of a Yom Kippur situation, that's clearly an Iser Gavra. There's nothing about the food. I mean, every single food on the face of the earth is prohibited. So where's the Heftzah Disura? So I just want to mention, my father, Zichron Levrach, used to tell me that he proved that this was my father's chiddush from a certain Magen Avraham, that Yom Kippur is only an Iser Heft. I'm sorry, it's only an Iser Gav. Honestly, it's intuitive. I don't even really need a proof, but he had a very interesting proof that I wanted to share with you. He said that there's a machlokas rishonim whether you could make a bracha on a heftzah disura. Let's say, for example, you're a chole. I mean, this is probably very relevant. Maybe, unfortunately, it's going to be relevant again. I don't know. But in America, let's say, you know, we're not sure exactly, because there was a total blackout. We don't know exactly what kind of food they were feeding my father-in-law, Zichron Levracha, during this period. Well, let's say, Lu Yitzur, there's Macholos Asuros, but he's a Cholos Yesh Bo Sakana. I mean, there's no other food available. That's the only food he can get. So the issue in Rishonim is whether or not he would make a brach on that food. And one school of thought says that although he's pikuach nefesh, and certainly he eats the food, he has to eat the food, but he would not make a brach on that food. And the reason for that is because a brach is not chal on a heftzah disur. You don't make a brach on nevela, and he's eating nevela because he has no choice. There's no brach. Other Rishonim say, well, look, the Torah says he's allowed to eat it, so you can't call it Iser if the Torah is telling him he's allowed and even obligated to eat it. But we have those Rishonim who say he doesn't make a brach. Maybe I'll double check it, but I think it's the sheet that's arrived at. I think I have it here. One second, give me a second. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Ravid Shita. Let me just give me a minute here. No. It's the Ramav Shita. So this is, you know, again, just if you're interested, Perek Aleph Mehilchas Brachos, Halacha Yutes. The Rama writes, "Kol ochel dovra asur, eino mevarach alav lo betchila velo besof. Ketzad, harei shochel tevel, etc., etc. Eino mevarech. V'ein tzarech lomer v'ochal nevelos utrefos v'chein kol kayotzu b'zeh. Okay. Now, here's the issue in the Achronim. Cholesh yesh bo sakana v'ochel b'yom ha-kippurim. He says that a choleh who has to eat on Yom Kippur is, he makes all the brachas. He'll recite Kiddush. And not only that, he'll add Yalav V'Yovo in benching. A very interesting experience, you know, that a choleh is going to recite Yalav V'Yovo B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh when he benches. V'Davar Poshet Hu. So this is all in Siman Tav Resh Yud Ches. The Havi L'Didei Yom HaKippurim K'mo L'Didan B'Shar Yomim Tov. Right, every Yontif you have to say Yalav V'Yovo. So for the Choleh, Yom Kippur is Yontif. And therefore he has to recite Yalav V'Yovo. Now again, I don't remember all the details, but the Magen Avraham says that there's going to be an issue here about, I'll read to you the language of the Magen Avraham. He writes, "B'shibole aleket." This is all in Tav Resh Yud Ches. Kasa b'shem ara'a katz. Kevan shayom garam lo isur. V'rak pikuach nefesh garam lo heter. Havili didei kechol. V'ein bo kiddush. Wow. Okay, so there's a lot of deep lumbness over here, but what's the status of Yom Kippur for a choleh? Are we saying that as far as the v'nisa v'snafshel seichem is concerned, it's like a day of chol, and it's just that, right, pikuach nefesh is matir, but it's asur. In other words, even for the choleh, it's asur, but pikuach nefesh makes it like a yom chol. And the nafkamina is whether you recite kiddush. So this is a discussion of the Magen Avraham. Does a choleh on Yom Kippur recite kiddush? Fascinating issue. But it seems that as far as brachas are concerned, kuliyamalo pligi, that he makes brachas, which is not necessarily the case with regard to the nevela. So my father used to say that that's because nevela is an isur chefetzah, whereas Yom Kippur is an isur gavra. So when it comes to isur chefetzah, just that there's a heter, you're allowed to eat it because of pikuach nefesh. So your bracha is now going to be chal on nevela. And that's a problem. The Rambam says we don't make a bracha on nevela. But in the case of Yom Kippur, the Torah says you're prohibited from eating if you're not a pikuach nefesh, but the Torah never says that the ochel, the machol sasuros, is a cheftzidi sura. Just that you have to achieve a state of inisim es nashel seichem. And therefore, it could be that even if you hold that in a general pikuach nefesh situation, you don't make a bracha nevela, but in the case of Yom Kippur, chol b'yom ha-kippur would make a bracha. Again, whether he cites kiddush, that's going to be the Magen Avraham's business with the Ra'ah Katz, I don't know, one of the Rishonim apparently. And the Magen Avraham vacillates because he thinks that once it's Pikuach Nefesh, it's like a Yom Chol. So to say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Yom HaKippurim, that he can't say. But as far as other brachos are concerned, whether it's Lefanel Achreah, he would recite a brach. So anyway, I got off a little bit on a tangent, but I just wanted to suggest that perhaps this would be an answer to Beis Hillel's question, his argument against Beit Shammai. Now, it's the fact that a katan is allowed is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, that might be based on this Isur Gavra, meaning if you're not Mitzuvah, you're not a Gavra that has V'Nisem. You're not included in V'Nisem. As far as the Heft is concerned, right, we don't feed Nevelus or Trefus to a Katan. I mean, that itself is an issue, but let's say we Paskin, I'm pretty sure, that we don't feed Nevelus and Trefus to a Katan, but we're going to feed food to a Katan on Yom Kippur. I mean, again, you might have Chinuch and Lashos and this, that, these 11, all the sugyas there in Yuma. But fundamentally, according to Torah law, feed him on Yom Kippur, there's no problem. Don't give him Nevelus and Trefus, not even during the year. So in Hilchas Erevin, it could be that Beit Shammai would make that distinction. He would say, yeah, you could talk about Mutal Acherim in a case of an Isur Gavra. And then you've alleviated the Hefta of its status as a Hefta Disura, and therefore it's a valid Erev. But once you have an Isur Hefta, even if it's only an Isur Hefta vis-a-vis one individual, let's say the Nazir or the Zarim, in the case of Truma, that's an Isur Hefta. You know, Truma to a Zar is a Hefta Disura. It's a Chiv Misa B'deshva, it's a Hefta Disura. Again, it's a Hefta Disura because of its Kedushas Truma, but nevertheless, it's a Hefta Disura. It's inherent in the Hefta. It's the Kedusha of the Hefta. Now again, Yayin for Nazir, I mean, you could go either way. The Rosh vacillates back and forth at the beginning of the Nedarim. What's the status of Yayin to a Nazir? And he has Nafkaminas. But if we assume, which again is a big if, that Yayin to a Nazir is a Hefta Isura. Basically, he's taking a Neder, which includes three different Isurim, you know, Tiglachas and Tumah, but includes Yayin. And he's taking Neder on the Yayin. The Yayin for him is a Hefta Isura, like any other Neder. And therefore, Beit Shammai will disqualify that Eruv. So that's what I thought. You know, if Beit Shammai had studied in Reb Chaim's yeshiva in Valozhin, you know, or in Brisk, that's what he would say. But the trouble is that Beit Shammai did not learn in Brisk. So therefore, the members of that school of thought of Beit Shammai came up with a whole nother thesis. Well, Beit Shammai, what would Beit Shammai answer to Beis Hillel? Hasam, Ika Suda Ruya Mibodjom, Hacha Leka Suda Ruya Mibodjom. Rabosai, this is pure lumdus. There's no way you can read this Gemara without lumdus, in my humble opinion. There's no taich. I mean, you can't even translate the words on a simple level. We have here in this Gemara a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel about the following question. What generates an Erev Tchumen? Is it Kiddush HaShabbos? Or is it Chol going into Shabbos? Obviously, it's too late for an Erev Tchumen, Mishachashecha, after it gets dark. It's already Shabbos. You cannot set up an Erev Tchumen, because the whole purpose, as we discussed, of an Erev Tchumen is to set up your Tchum Shabbos. And that has to be set up before Shabbos. But here's the machlokas between Beit Sil Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that since you have to set up the Erev Tchumen before Shabbos, then what's the status of that Eruv going into Shabbos? Or in the case of Yom Kippur, here's a beautiful example. Beit Shammai would say that right now, when I'm being koveya my makom shvisa, my tchum Shabbos, I'm allowed to eat this. It's before Chashecha. It's the 9th of Tishrei, not the 10th. Yom HaKippur itself is Asur, it doesn't matter. I need to set up the Tchum Shabbos before Yom Kippur. It's the entering into Yom Kippur that engenders my Tchum Shabbos and determines my Tchum Shabbos. And therefore, at this moment, argues Beit Shammai, it's heter gomur. It's my mazon. It's something that I can eat. Not so in the case of nazir. Not so in the case of a zar for truma. And Beis Hillel would counter argue, no, that Tchum Shabbos can only be relevant to Shabbos itself. I mean, why are you setting up your Tchum Shabbos? Again, I admit that you have to set up your Tchum Shabbos going into Shabbos, but the whole point is that this is your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. Well, what makes it into your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos? Because you have food to eat? Who's going to eat that food? Ah, Kotten is going to eat that food. No, if a cotton's can eat that food, I can apply that same logic to a nazir and to a to truma. But the deeper meaning here of this machlokus is how do we? It's like almost ma'isa v'chalos, meaning everybody agrees that the ma'isa of setting up an erev has to take place before Shabbos. In this case, before Yom Kippur. That's unquestionable. Once the bell rings and it's Tzeis HaKochavim, it's Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur, it's too late to set up a Tchum with an Erev. But the question is, what's the Chalos of the Erev? Beis Hillel would claim the Chalos of the Erev is on Shabbos itself, on Yom Kippur itself in this case. That's when the two pseudos are relevant to be Koveh Makom, Koveh Makom Shvisa. I mean, in the middle of the week, he's going to set up an Erev. That's irrelevant. He can't set up an Erev. The Erev has to be related to Shabbos. And in Yom Kippur, he's got mazon that's not accessible to him. You know, it's not Roy Lachila. So it's a very interesting case. You have a case of something which becomes Eino Roy Lachila with the inception of Yom HaKippur. Let's see if I can read it into the language of the Gemara. Hasam, says Beit Shammai, Ika Suda Ruya Mibodyom. What generates the Tchum? It's Mibodyom. You can't set up an Erev Tchumen after Chashecha. Hacha, but here in Nazir, or Truma for that matter, Leka Suda Ruya Mibodyom. As he enters into Shabbos, vis-a-vis the Nazir or the Tzar, he doesn't have a Suda Ruya. Okay. Now, Beit Shammai hold Ein Ma'arvin Yayin L'Nazir because it's not Roy L'Seuda. And as an introduction to the next Sugya, which is still the Hemshech of our Sugya, it would seem from Beit Shammai that anything that's Roy L'Achila is Ma'arvin Bo. Now, the whole purpose of an Eruv is to set up your Makom Shvisa. Aren't we fooling ourselves when we say that since he has Mazon Shtei Sudos, that is his Makom Shvisa? What about the clothes that he has to wear on Shabbos? What about the bed that he has to sleep in on Shabbos, right? Let's use Sukkah as a paradigm. You know, it's got to be Teshu Kein Taduru. So it's not enough that I eat a Suda in the Sukkah. I have to sleep in the Sukkah. I wear my clothes in the Sukkah, right? I'm not naked in the Sukkah. I mean, I need a Dira. So the Gemara says, Keman Delo Kechananya. This whole discussion that we've had until now, based on the first brisa, is against Chananya, because Chananya has a different understanding of Beit Shammai. This Sanya, we learned in the brisa, Chananya Omer, Kol Atzmon Shebeit Shammai, Lo Hayu Modim, Bi Eruv. Beit Shammai could not tolerate the whole concept of Eruv as we know it. Mazon Shtei Sudos, Ad Sheyotzi Mitaso V'chol Klei Tashmisho L'Shav. He wants to establish, you know, 2,000 am away. That's where he's his Makom Shvisa. It's not enough. Don't fool me and say, well, I have two sudos. That's got to be my Makom Shvisa. So on Erev Shabbos, I have to take out my Mita and my Klei Tashmish. Probably my Begadim. Again, maybe he doesn't sleep in pajamas. So, I don't know. You know, if he if he wears the same clothing for 24 hours straight, maybe he doesn't have to put down a change of clothing. I don't know. So b'sof alpayim ama b'beso, he's got to set up a ganza zach there. You know, maybe set a tent over there. You know, he's got a bed to sleep in. He's got all the kalim that'll need for Shabbos, and he's got mozon shtei sudos. I find this fascinating because, you know, if you've never learned Erevin before, like me, this is my first time around. I think they say about Rav Henkin Zichron Levracha, who was the Gadol before Rav Moshe Feinstein, they said that they once asked him a Shaila in Erevin and he felt he was a little foggy on it. So he reviewed the Masechta 60 times or something like that. Anyway, so this is to me very fascinating. I mean, it's a whole different curveball on what Erev Tchumen is all about. You know, we think Erev Tchumen is Mazon Shtei Sudos, and that's what we've been assuming, you know, since we started this Perek. And Chananya has a different take on it. Again, Chananya within Beit Shammai. So I'll just read to you the Hebrew. He writes, Beit Shammai lo hayu modim b'takonas erev tchumen ad sheyotzim erev Shabbos mitoso v'chol klei tashmisha nitzrochim lo b'Shabbos l'sham l'mokum sherotzu liknos bo shvisa b'sof alpayim amam v'beiso sh'oz nechshav shekoveas diroso sham v'yochol aleches misham alpayim amal l'chol ruah aval shvisa b'raglov b'ein ha'shmoshos b'yotso mokum ba'anochas mozon shtei sudos eino mo'ilo l'daito. So we really have now two traditions in the Shita of Beit Shammai. We have the first Braisa that said that Yayin L'Nazir is not a valid Erev according to Beit Shammai because going into Shabbos he's enjoined from drinking the wine. In the case of Yom HaKippurim, Beit Shammai could accept it because you could eat the food on Erev Yom HaKippurim when you put down the Erev. But the premise is that all you need for an Erev is Mazon Shtei Sudos. Now we're saying Chananya has a whole different take, and you need Mitoso, V'chol, Klei, Tashmisho, in addition to Mazon Shtei Sudos. Okay, now the Gemara has a brice about Begadim. And the Gemara thinks that this Braisa is problematic according to Chananya. This is a Braisa that reflects the Shita of Beit Shammai regarding Erev Tafsilin vis-a-vis Begod. And it says the following. Erev Bishchorim Lo Yetze Bilavon. He has two different types of apparel. He's got his white clothes and his dark clothes. You know, like when you give it to the laundry, you know, to your wife, if you do the laundry. So you got the dark clothes, what's called a dark load and a light load, right? Light-colored load. So what begadim did he put in the Erev b'sof alpayim am? Well, in this case, and we'll have the reverse, he put shchorim. Now, he wants to go out chutz l'tchum from that point, and he's wearing begadim levanim. No deal. No go. Could you imagine the relativity theory of tchumim, that tchum is only relative to that category of begadim that you left in the Erev, in the Makom Erev. But you want to use that Erev for a different category of begadim, your Erev will not cover those begadim. So it means that it's not just a single issue of where's your makom shvisa, but where's your makom shvisa vis-a-vis that type of begadim. And now the flip side, levanim. So he set up his Erev with levanim. Is lo yetze b'shchorim. Keman. Now, all you need for an Erev is Mazon Shtei Suda. So this Braisa makes absolutely no sense unless we introduce Hananya Aliba de Beit Shammai. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who authors this Braisa? Hananya hi Aliba de Beit Shammai. Which means that it's not enough to set up an Erev Tchumin with Mazon. It's not even enough with Mazon and Mita. You need also Begadim, Kalim, Begadim. But we're in trouble here. Because this Braisa is not going to make sense even according to Hananya in Beit Shammai. Why? Because he brought his Begadim out there. So Gemara says, "Vil Hananya bishchorim hu delo yetze habalavanim yetze." Right, in the second case of the Braisa, ha amar atchiyotzi mitasu klei tashmisha l'sham. So mimanefshach. If you're telling me he has a repertoire of begadim that includes both levanim and shchorim, he's got to set up his makom shvisa through the eruv for whatever kalim he needs. So in the middle of Shabbos, he needs shchorim, let's say. Again, it doesn't matter which way you go. He only set up his eruv with levanim. That's not even an eruv, according to Hananya Beit Shammai. Why? Because eruv means a makom shvisa. Whatever he needs for the next 24 hours of Shabbos, that's going to be the eruv, and nothing less will do. Now you're telling me, in the middle of Shabbos, we better warn him. You know, he made the Erev with Levonim. He's allowed to go another 2,000 Amah, an additional 2,000 Amah. That's 4,000 Amah away from his bias with Levonim, if that's what he left there. But he's not allowed to go out with Shchorim. According to Hananya, he shouldn't be allowed to go out with Levonim even. Even if he left Levonim there, he did not succeed in reaching the level of establishing a Makom Shvisa. Because the Makom Shvisa needs his Kalim. He doesn't have all his Kalim. Let's say he, you know, the first 12 hours he sleeps in Begadim Shchorim, and then the next 12 hours he wears Levonim. So he made an Erev with Shchorim, and tomorrow you can allow him, based on that Erev, to walk around with Levonim. How is that so? Ha'amar doesn't Beit Shammai argue according to Hananya ad sheyotzi mitaso uklei tashmisha l'sham, and if he only brought out l'sham half of his begadim and not the other half, that shouldn't be an erev at all. Hachi kamar, so the Gemara reinterprets the braisa. Erev bilavanim v'hutrach l'shchorim is af bilavanim lo yetze. A whole new reading of the braisa. He made it an erev with this kind of begadim, we'll call him levanim, but he needs shchorim. Is af bilavanim lo yetze. Garnishvet, there's no erev over here. Because he didn't take out shchorim to the makom Erev Tchumen, and on Erev Shabbos, and he, during the course of Shabbos, needs to walk around not only with Begadim Levonim, but also with Begadim Shchorim. Keman, Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Hananya hi Aliba de Beit Shammai. Now, Rabosai, if I had to paskin and create a Kitzah Shulchan Aruch based on Beit Shammai, we paskin on Beis Hillel, obviously, I don't know how far we would go with this. I mean, you really have to rack your brain. So you could write a whole mesechta just on what would constitute a valid Erev Tchumen according to Beit Shammai. I'm tempted to think that, you know, when it comes to Shchorim and Levonim, you know, this is something critical, you know. You know, when I think, you know, I think to myself, you know, what begadim would I wear on Shabbos? You know, so if it gets hot, you know, the forecast is hot, so I'm not going to wear a tie on Shabbos. Yeah, you know? So I made an Erev without a tie. But no. my father, Zichron Levracha, wouldn't walk out of his house to put a letter in the mailbox down the street without his tie. You know, he was naked without his tie, you know, because he was a rabbinic position. So he wouldn't, you know, in Israel, you know, we go with the open collar, right? But I don't know, you know, it's very interesting to me, you know, what, like, for example, a guy who sleeps on two mattresses, not one mattress, so he uses two pillows instead of one. So would that be a valid Erev according to Beit Shammai if he only had one mattress or one pillow? I don't know. You know, you'd have to ask, well, what's crucial? I mean, the Mishnah says, paspa mel tochal, you know, alamayim alaretz tishan, you know, if you want to be kone, you know, a keset Torah, but I don't know. But apparently, Levonim and Shchorim, I don't know, that's, it's like pajamas, you know. You wouldn't walk around in pajamas, you know, in the middle of the street, unless you were missing a couple of screws. So that's not called being Konish Shvisa. Maybe that's what Shchorim is similar to. I don't know exactly in their society and sociologically what was the phenomenal difference between Shchorim and Levonim. You know, there's a whole Gemara in Masechta Shabbos about tachrichim. You know, I think it was Rav Yana. He said to his sons, you know, that, you know, don't dress me up in white tachrichim because I made up in the other place. I'll be the only one wearing white in the other place. And then he said to him, well, don't dress me up in black because maybe I'll get to Gan Eden and then I'll be the only one in black in Gan Eden. You know, so dress me up in red tachrichim. Could you imagine sale? There's a special sale now, you know, especially during this epidemic, of red tachrichim. You know, you get a cheap deal on it. I heard yesterday, by the way, somebody told me that he has a cousin whose business is selling suits. And he's doing terribly. You know, people are just not buying suits now because they're mostly quarantined. So who's buying suits? And there are all sorts of jokes going around. You know, like, for example, you have no idea what I'm wearing, or I don't know what you're wearing, underneath your belt. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, anyway. So now let's go on in the sugya. And the Gemara says the following. We now have a third shita in the Tanoim regarding an Erev. Our Mishnah said that Ma'arvin Lenozir B'Yayin U'Yisrael B'Truma because it's Royal Acher. Sumchas Omer B'Chulin Avalo B'Truma. Now, it's very interesting. Sumchas argues against the Chachamim with regard to an Erev of Truma. And if you're not a Kohen, according to Sumchas, don't even dream of making an Erev Techumen out of Truma. But yet Sumchas doesn't say a word about Yayin Linazir. So once again, you know, I'm very hung up on this Gavra Cheftzibis, so I would have said maybe Sumchas holds that Nazir is an Iser Gavra, not the way I said it before in Beit Shammai. And therefore, if it's an Iser Gavra, then you can make an Erev out of Yayin, even according to Sumchus. Masha Enkein, Truma is clearly in the Heft itself. It's got Kedusha to it, which excludes Azar. Okay, but that's just Pilpula B'Alma. So the Gemara says the following. The Ilu Nazir B'Yayin Lo Polig. Wherein lies the distinction, according to Simchus, between Truma Lazar and Yayin L'Nazir? In the case of Truma Lazar, Simchus disqualifies the Erev. In the case of Yayin L'Nazir, he seems to accept the Erev. My timer. And the Gemara answers, Efshar de Mitchell anezirusa. Now, first of all, I have no idea what the Hava meaning in this Gemara is, because to the same extent, you could be Shoel on Nezirus, you could be Shoel on Truma as well. But okay, the Gemara is going to raise that objection. It just bothers me what the Hava meaning was, what the Shaklavitaria. But let's assume that you could only be Shoel on Nezirus, but you can't be Shoel on Truma. You know, once you mafresh Truma, Harezu Truma, Again, this is wrong what I'm telling you, but let's assume in the Hava Mina, it's irrevocable. Why should that make a difference? We're talking about Roy Lacheren. So you're telling me that Truma is more Roy Lacheren because he could be Shoel? And Truma can't be Shoel? But what about the Kohanim? The Kohanim are allowed to eat the Truma. So it seems now the Gemara is dropping the ball, according to Sumchus, on this distinction between Roy Lacheren and A-Roy Lacheren. In Achinami, Sumchus requires as a precondition for an Erev that's going to be Roy Liatzma. But Nazir, Yayin LeNazir, is Roy Liatzma. Why? Because the theoretical possibility that this individual could drink the wine. And let's assume on Shabbos he could be Shoel on his Nazirus. He's allowed to drink the wine. Now, I'm a little bit bothered by something, but it's just Dok V'Tishkach. It's not pshat that the Yayin is allowed to, the Nazir is allowed to drink the wine. If he's Shoel on his Zirus, then he's not a Nazir. You know, insofar as he's a Nazir, you know, Chazok Rahashta, he's also B'Yayin. No way, no how. You know, he can make himself Ois Nazir. You know, that's a different story. But okay, Lamaisa, on Shabbos, he will drink this wine. How? Because he'll be Shoel on his Nazirus. For Sumchus, that's enough of a theoretical possibility that this is called Mazon Shtei Sudos. You know, he knew the half a lug of Yayin, he's got a Revius here and a Revius Fich Suda, and he's okay. You know, Tosus at the beginning of Masecht Pesachim raises the question why there's a mitzvah bedikas chametz with regard to chametz and not with regard to yayin to a nazir. That a nazir should be obligated, at least midrabbanan, to get rid of all his wine. You know, can you imagine living in a house full of wine and you're a nazir? You know, if you like wine, that's very tempting. And in chametz, it's lo b'dilim in a'inshi, the whole year round, you know, he's used to eating chametz, so we got to get rid of the chametz on Pesach. And Tosfos argues the same thing should apply to Yayin, to a Nazir. I mean, he's been drinking wine for the last 100 years. Now he became a Nazir. So he's so used to drinking wine, how are we allowing him to keep wine around? And paradoxically, Sumchus is arguing that he could use Yayin as an Eruv. He's a Nazir. You'll ask me, but he can't drink the wine? The answer is, yeah, he'll drink the wine after he's Shoel on his Nazirus. So we're looking at that wine as if it's his Mazon Shtei Sudos. You know, when he goes out to that area on Shabbos and he eats his Sudos, he's going to be drinking that wine because he's going to be Shoel on his Nazirus. And again, I don't understand the Hava Mina, but Ihachi Truma Nami Efshe de Mitchalale. Well, the Gemara didn't know this. Okay, fine, that's a question. But why does Sumcha say that Ein Ma'arvin Bitruma? If in Nazir, Yayin LeNazir, he says Efshe de Mitchal, we should apply the same din to Truma because he can be Shoel on his Truma. I mean, you derive from this that Truma is really Aflas Pet. And it belongs to the parasha of Matos, which is in itself interesting. Why Truma is Haflas Peh? Obviously, if he says a raisin Truma, that's Haflas Peh. But you know, Truma is Isa b'machshava, right? The Gemara says no say of itzadzeh v'yochem itzadzeh. So I don't know exactly why it comes under Haflas Peh, but the Gemara has no question about it. You could be Shoel on Truma. Now, let's just ask ourselves the following question. When you Shoel on Truma, what happens now? What's the status of Truma li'achar she'ela? Are you following my question? There are two possible answers to this question. Only one is right, but in theory, there are two possible answers. Either it's Chulin, or it's Tevel. You follow me? Because, what'd he say?
How could it be chulin?
It can't be chulin. I'm just saying, you know, conceptually, you could say to me, well, you know, just like yayin for nazir after shela, it's yayin for you and I. We're not nazirim. So too, truma after shela is let the zar go ahead and eat the truma. That's not so. After he's shoal on his truma, it reverts back to being tevel. He needs another afrasha to be mafkir lisa tevel. Now, you might argue that what the Gemara is thinking now is that he's going to do two things. Number one, he's going to be shoel on the truma, and that's why the Gemara thinks that even sumchus would allow, again, according to this Havamina, sumchus would recognize the validity of an heir of tchumin on truma, because he's going to be shoel, but you have to add another proviso. Not only is he going to be shoel on his truma, but he's also going to be mafrish truma in order to remove the issur tevel. It gets a little bit sticky over here, because this tevel needs hafrasha. Now, you may imagine that there's enough truma here to go beyond mazon shtei sudos, right? We discussed the great length, the minimum amount of mazon shtei sudos. So maybe we can talk about a case where the kamus was greater than the shear, and therefore, even after he's shoel and mafrish, he's still left with mazon shtei sudos. I mean, again, you have to ask other questions. For example, you could be shoel on Shabbos, but I don't know if you could be mafrish truma on Shabbos. Okay, that's a drabanan. So it could be that the isa drabanan of hafashas truma on Shabbos doesn't bother the Gemara as far as the doraisa halach is concerned. You know what I mean? On a doraisa level, he could be mafrish truma on Shabbos, and it'll be perfectly valid. Alternatively, even on a drabana level, although he's enjoined from being mafresh truma, but if he went ahead and he was mafresh truma, then b'dieved post facto would be a valid afrasha. So sumchus l'shitascha, that you're looking for theoretical possibilities, in the case of yayin l'nazi, you found the theoretical possibility, he could be shol on his nazirus, so even in the case of truma, there's a theoretical possibility they can eat the truma. He would have to do two things. Number one, he would have to be shoel on his hafrasha. Number two, he's going to have to be mafrish a second time in order to make it into chulin, because otherwise it's tevel. And tevel is the same violation of achiv misavidei shemayim as truma. So the Gemara answers, e mitchel alei hadra letibula. That even if you want to raise this theoretical possibility, this conceptual possibility that it'll be shoel on his truma, but nevertheless, it reverts back to its original state of teva. And once again, it's not roi l'achila, and it therefore could not be valid as an eruv. Hence, sumchus will invalidate an eruv with truma for a non-kohen, but he will recognize the validity of an Erev with Yayin Linoz, because Efshel Mitchal. So the Gemara asks another kash. V'lifrosh alei mimokom acher. See, we wanted to ask a kash, well, why isn't he mafish minei ube? I don't know, maybe the Gemara is assuming that he only has a sheer, you know, mitzumtzum of mazon shtei sudos. If that be the case, if he would be mafrish mineu bay, he'll be left with pachas mikashir of erev for mazon shtei sudos. So therefore, the Gemara has a different kasha. Lifrosh alei mi makom acher. So again, you know, you have to know a little bit more about Afrosh's Truma, but there's something called Min HaMukaf, and then there's something called Shalom Min HaMukaf. So for example, if I have Chulin right here sitting on my table, I can be mafresh min amukaf. Min amukaf means it's samach lo, right? It's right here in front of me. On a doraisa level, I can be mafresh shalom min amukaf. That's called bimakom acher. So, for example, I may have tevel in Alaska, and I could be mafresh truma here in Yerushalayim on that tevel that's in Alaska. But midrabbanan, they don't allow that. You know, we're not mafresh shalom min amukaf. We're always afraid that, you know, maybe somebody's going to eat tevel here because they don't know that he thinks he did. We did Avrasha, he didn't do Avrasha. So the Gemara says, lo nechshidu chaverim litrom shalom min amukaf. The same chaver who's very pious and he observes the mitzvahs and he's putting an erev tchumin because he knows he has to walk more than 2,000 amah on Shabbos, he's going to be equally pious and he will not be mafresh shalom min amukaf, meaning mimokom acher. In fact, the Gemara lifra shalei minei ubei, the less be shiur. Okay. Umimai paskei. Like, that's a classic mimai paskei. In other words, you know, the Tana somehow assumed, and Sumchus assumed, that he was mafrish mitzumtzum, right? What is he called? The lesbe shiura, meaning if he'll subtract a little from the food because he wants to be mafrish minei ubei, then he'll be left with less than a shiur. Well, why do you have to assume so? I mean, if Sumchus wants to instruct me, what do I do if I'm a Yisrael and the only food I have for my Erev is Truma? So he should tell me, make sure that you set up an Erev with a little bit of extra Truma beyond the Shear. And then we can apply this theoretical, hypothetical, conceptual possibility that he could be Shoel on his Truma and he could be Mafrish Minei Ubei and he's still left with a Shear of Truma. So that's called my paske. And therefore, based on this question, the Gemara actually rejects everything, all its assumptions until now about Sumchus, scrap them all, and start from scratch. Ella, but rather, Sumchus sovereign kerabbanon. The Amri called Dovashu Mishum Shvus, Gazru Olav Bein Hashmoshos. Okay, now this is a machlokes later on in Erevin. I think in the past we've touched on this, not in this Masechta, but that what's the status of Gzeira D'Rabbanan during Bein HaShmoshos? Did D'Rabbanan equate Bein HaShmoshos with Shabbos, and therefore all the Gzeiros apply to Bein HaShmoshos just as they apply to Shabbos? So that's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbana. Rebbe says that kol makom she gozru chacham ben hashmoshes lo gozru ben hashmoshes. So any gzeirah Rabbana of Shabbos is mutter ben hashmoshes. The Rabbana rejected Rebbe, and they say that kol makom she gozru Rabbanan, afilu ben hashmoshes gozru. And Sumchus holds like the Rabbanan of Rebbe. And what does that give us? Lachen, I'm going to read the beer. He says, "V'ofet she'irev l'Yisrael b'truma, i'efshal lomar shere'uya hi, keman she'yochal ishoel ola, b'tachzol l'tibula v'yafresh m'nei ubei, Sharei chalos ha'eruv ukniyas ha'shvis al yodo naseis b'bein ha'shmoshol shaknisas ha'shabes v'oz osu lo lahafrish mimenu truma mishum shvus. Wow. So the issue of setting up an eruv tchumen with truma for a zar is contingent on the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding shvus. So we have now two premises, we have to combine them. Premise number one is that Erev Tchumen, depends upon Bein Hashmashals. I mean, Beit Shammai, I think, would reject this when we discussed Yom HaKippur. Forget it. Leave that out now. But anyway, the machshir of Erev Tchumen, the tikkun of Erev Tchumen, is Chal Bein Hashmashos. That's premise number one. So therefore, that means that we have to ask ourselves, what's the status of this food, Bein Hashmashos? So in the case of Yayin L'Nazir, Simcha says, well, he could be Shoel on his Nazirus, because there's no Issa Shvus on She'elas Nedarim. But in the case of Truma, Simcha has a problem, because what are you going to tell me? He could be Mafresh Truma. Well, Hafreshes Truma is a Shvus. And if we combine that with premise number one, that Sumchus holds like the Chachamim of Rebbe, and Kol Masha Gozru Chachamim Mishum Shvus Gozru Bein Hashmashos. So then, by definition, it's impossible to set up an Eruv on behalf of Yisrael with Truma, because the Eruv is only effective Bein Hashmashos. And immediately with Bein Hashmashos, the inception, we generate the Shvus of Hafreshes Truma, which is an Iser Derabbanan of Shvus of Shabbos. Once it's Chal Bein Hashmashos, then you've excluded from him the possibility of being Mafresh Truma. And if he has no possibility of being Mafresh Truma, then by definition, it's Eino Roy Lachiu. So the only thing I want to add, because we ran out of time, is this question, my Paske, that the Gemara says it's impossible to assume that Sumchus, when he spoke about the impossibility of making an Erev Tchumen with Truma, it doesn't make any sense to assume that it was a Shir Mitzumtzum. And that's based on Stoma. Stoma means that Sumchus made a general statement, unqualified, and he said, Eima Arvin Yisrael B'Truma. And what are you going to tell me? That it really depends upon whether he has a Shir Mitzumtum or not? It sounds like Pashtus, that Sumchus made this statement, Eima Arvin Truma Lazar, in all situations. Even if he has more than a Shir Mitzumtum of Mazon Shtei Sudos, and then the question becomes, why not say he could be Shol on his Truma, then he could be Mafresh Minei Ube, and he still has left over after his Hafrasha, he's got Chulin to the tune of Mazon Shtei Sudos. Why do you tell me that the less lay Shiv? So just to read you, he says in the footnote, well, Nazir, according to Sumchus, Ma'arev B'yayin, Kevon Sha'af B'shah B'shas B'nei Shmoshes, Yochol Lishoel Al Niziruso, V'yehei Ayayin Roilo. And he says that although we need what's called Litzorach Shabbos, but Shtias Ayayin is called Litzorach Shabbos, and therefore there's no Issa to be Matir, the Neder of Nazirus. But as far as Hafrosh's Truma on Shabbos is concerned, the Chachamim prohibited it, and that's the sugi at the end of Beitza, because it's nira kemisakein es haperos. Now, in the case we discussed before about Hifrish Shalom and Amukov, he points out that B'dieved, if he went ahead and he was Mafrish Shalom and Amukov, Hafroshos Chala. Chala means that it's Chal, and the peros are mutar b'achila. But l'chatchila it's also lasos kein, and therefore that Erev is not considered Roy L'Achila, because L'Achila, you're not allowed to be Misak in the Peros in that way. Now, he writes, Nechleku Rishonim Begeder Isur Zeh. Rashi holds that Osur Michasha Sheva Osam HaPeros Shu Somech Aleim Shiyu Truma Umasos Nevdu O Nirkavu. So if he sets up Tevel as Truma, that transition between Tevel and Truma is only valid if the Hafrashas Truma is valid. But if there, you know, he's thinking that over there he has peros, but in fact those peros have long gone, they've rotted, then his hafrasha here is not hafrasha, and therefore what he has in front of him is tevel. And that can make a tremendous nafkamina legabe a kohen, for example. Tosus in Gittin has a different approach. He says that Truma Gidola Ha'isa Litrom Shalom and Amukafu Midoraisa. It's not because this chashash that maybe the other Paris over there got ruined. V'afilu Kashashneim Lefanov Ein Chashash Shema Nevdu. Osalasus came. So he's saying that in Truma Gidola, Shalom and Amukaf is Da'oraisa. And even if there's no chashash that the other peros are lost, it would still be aser. Ubitrumas iser, ubitrumas maser, or iser hu mirabana. So that's a sugya unto itself. Now we speak about going to a chacham to be shoel. So it could be that we have to invoke the halacha of hafrasha betos and. Hegdesh betos is low chal. So now the question becomes, what's the story with truma? We said that in the case of hegdesh betos eino chal. So then we could say that the same idea applies to truma as hegdesh, and therefore he could be shoel on his neder through charata, that he's mischarid, he has regret now that he took a neder, or through Pesach, which means that he missed the point when he took the neder. You know, had he paid attention to a certain thing, b'shas neder, then he wouldn't have taken the neder. And that becomes nidrei tos. So I want to just mention the Rashash here, which is quoted here in the note. He wants to make a chilik between She'ela and Truma and She'ela and Nedarim in general, whereas She'ela in a case of a classic neder where you go to the Chacham, that could work under one of two modus operandi. It could be the Charoto or it could be Pesach, but in the case of Pesach, which means Tos. In the case of Truma, we don't have such an institution called Charoto. And She'ela and Truma would be only if he has a Pesach to claim that Aldas Kain Lo Hifris Truma, and therefore my Afrasha was Betos, and the Chacham could be Oker his Afrasha. Alright, so we're going to make a note here that we got up to Keman Azla Hodisnan, which is about two-thirds down, Lamed Omid Beis.